This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. Don't forget, if you want to email the show love, hate, death threats, ask Dr. Jesse questions for Friday, email the show jesse@jessekellyshow.com. We'll talk about illegals and lost farms. We'll get to emails, all kinds of things this hour. I just want to finish up this thought because I brought it up at the end of last hour. U.S. companies are willing to sell your personal data, already selling our personal data to the government. I'm a little floored at how common it's become in this country for companies to align themselves willingly with the government. But I shouldn't be floored. That's the whole history of the world, especially once government gets big and powerful and corrupt. The powerful companies want to align themselves with it, right? You want to be on the side of the law, of the people with all the power, means more money, means more everything. But man alive, that makes it difficult for you, me, the consumer, doesn't it? If we have a government that hates us and corporations that help them hate us, that's probably not ideal. Speaking of the government hating us, we talk about the climate change movement as the most genocidal movement in the history of mankind. And it is. It really genuinely is. There's no movement that has ever come close to killing as many people as the climate change movement does. And there's a very specific reason why. It's not because they're naturally more violent or anything like that. There's a very specific reason why. When you look at any genocide that's happened throughout history, one of the main reasons the genocide happened was a very specific group of people were labeled as being the problem, and therefore the problem will go away if we just kill this specific group of people. The Armenian Genocide. Hey, these people need to die, according to Turkey. They're saboteurs. They're infiltrators. Let's kill them all. Obviously, the most famous genocide in history is the Holocaust of the Jews during World War II. It wasn't a Holocaust of everybody. It was, hey, there's the Jews. They're the problem. The problem, it's the Jews. It was a genocide of the Jews. Yeah, it's a good point, Chris. Rwanda's another one. It was a very specific group of people. Hey, these people don't like these people. They're the problem. Kill them. Genocides have traditionally identified one group of people and decided that the problem goes away once that group of people goes away. The climate change movement is the most genocidal movement in the history of mankind because it's for all people. You see, it's not the Rwandans or the Armenian Christians or the Jews or the this or that are the problem. It's everybody. Everyone needs to die, or at least the majority of the planet. They're on record as saying 90% of the planet needs to die in order to, of course, save Mother Earth. It is at its essence the most anti-human religion in the history of man because it flat out states man is the problem. Man is the poison. Man is what's destroying the planet. And man has to go away to save us all. They've taken very specific steps already to commit this genocide. And the problem is things like this happen so slow at first, so we don't realize when they're actually being successful. It's not as if the genocide is going to come. It's already underway. Over 140,000 farms lost in America in just 5 years. In 5 years, we have lost 140,000 farms. That's not even international data. That's courtesy of Zero Hedge. The international data is even more frightening. The anti-humans in the climate change realm have declared war on the food supply, which that would make sense, right? What's that saying we love so much? Amateurs study tactics, professionals study logistics. You and your fancy army and all your super soldiers, you got all your super studs over there with your fancy guns and fancy equipment, and you have the superior position on the battlefield. You're dug in on the high ground. Oh, no, I'm in trouble. Except I'm not, because you have the fancy guns and gadgets and troops, but I just captured your supply lines, and all those fancy guns and troops and everything, they're all going to slowly starve to death. Supplies are everything. Logistics are everything. If you're a genocidal monster who wants to kill about 7 billion people, well, you don't have to go shoot them all in the back of the head. You certainly will, but you don't have to. You just have to find a way to take away their food. And because we have so much here in America, we just live in this land of plenty, it can be very difficult to see that that's what they're doing. Nevertheless, that's what they're doing. Sad. It's sad that we've allowed this insanity to weave itself into every part of our society. Now it's everywhere. You can't go anywhere without hearing about this climate change idiocy. All right, let's move on. Headline: Democrats vote unanimously to include illegal immigrants in the census. That's much different than the sexist, isn't it, Don? Anyway, why do Democrats want to include illegal immigrants in the census? That doesn't make any sense, unless, of course, you just listen to them talk.
From Brooklyn, New York, we have a diaspora that can absorb a significant number of these migrants. And when I hear colleagues talk about the doors of the inn being closed, no room in the inn, I'm saying, I need more people in my district, but just for redistricting purposes. And those members could clearly fit here.
Oh, migrants. Migrants. They do love that word, right? The right has come to fall in love with it as well. Anyway, she was being very honest about it. This is all about power. It's about destroying America, and it's about power for these people. Now, speaking of illegals, I did get a kick out of it. I wasn't here yesterday, so I didn't get a chance to give him a bunch of crap for coming out and apologizing for using the word illegal. We'll get to that in a little bit. That was Joe Biden. Before I get to that, though, I do want to play this back and forth today. Speaking of the climate change doomsdayers, Thomas Massie, the great Thomas Massie, got in a little tiff with this Representative Jayapal, this nutball dirty commie. Here's how it went.
We accept illegal immigrants because their climate is changing.
Mr. Massie, if you understood the immigration system, you would know that there are different categories for people to be able to come to the United States to apply. There is an asylum category. There's a refugee category. There is a category for employment. There is a category for being with family. And there are a number of reasons that drive people to come to the United States.
Which one is the category that allows them to break into our country illegally because the climate has changed where they live?
Mr. Massey, I don't think that people are breaking into the country illegally. And I just want to say, I think...
Just pause. I'm going to let her keep going. I want to focus on that last part, though, really quickly. I don't think that people are breaking into the country illegally. This is something that we have to understand about the liberal Aunt Peggies in our lives. They really genuinely do not believe in the concept of any border at all. They have been raised with such disdain for the United States of America. They believe this country is so exploitive and so evil that they really genuinely believe anyone who wants to come here and pillage this place should be allowed to do so. She was being very honest. I'll rewind it and play it again. She was being extremely honest when she said this part here. It is...
We accept illegal immigrants because their climate is changing.
Mr. Massey, if you
illegally,
because the climate has changed where they live.
Mr. Massey, I don't think that people are breaking into the country illegally.
I don't think that people are breaking into the country illegally. Now, you're freaking out. You're looking at 8 million in the first 3 years, and you're saying, what's she talking about? The very idea that there is any immigration law, any deportations, any border security is insane to her. That's how sick and twisted these people are. Isn't that nuts? All right, so I'll let her finish, and then we'll give Joe Biden some crap for apologizing, and we'll talk about the reasons behind that and other things. Hang on.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly DC.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. Remember, if you missed any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Google, Spotify, iTunes. Don't forget on iTunes to leave a 5-star rating and a review talking about how handsome I am. Here's the rest of Representative Jayapal and Massey arguing with each other. Oh, I accidentally stopped it. So we're starting it from the beginning.
We accept illegal immigrants because their climate is changing.
Mr. Massey, if you understood the immigration system, you would know that there are different categories for people to be able to come to the United States to apply. There is an asylum category. There's a refugee category. There is a category for employment. There is a category for being with family. And there are a number of reasons that drive people to come to the United States.
Which one is the category that allows them to break into our country illegally because the climate has changed where they live?
Mr. Massey, I don't think that people are breaking into the country illegally. And I just want to say, I think, looking around the room, that I might be the only person who has actually gone through the legal immigration system. When people differentiate between legal immigration and illegal immigration, the undertone from your side is that somehow people who are coming illegally are trying to break into the country, that are trying to do something wrong, when in fact it took me 17 years.
The undertone? I don't think I like your undertone. You're trying to say that people coming here illegally are doing something wrong. Remember just last segment when I said the very concept of a border is crazy to these people? That's how twisted up and nutball they are. It is, though. It's constant. All right, so I have to get to this really quickly. I didn't get a chance to make fun of him yesterday, and I can't let this go. Obviously, Joe Biden, during his State of the Union address, used the word illegal. He started speaking off the cuff because Marjorie Taylor Greene was yelling at him about Laken Riley, and when he went off the teleprompter, his brain didn't work properly, and he said the word illegal. Ever since then, he's been on the apology tour. I regret using that word.
During your response to her heckling of you, you used the word illegal when talking about the man who allegedly killed Laken Riley.
An undocumented person. And I shouldn't have used illegal. I should have, it's undocumented. And look, when I spoke about the difference between Trump and me, one of the things I talked about on the border was that his, the way he talks about vermin, the way he talks about.
Yeah. Well, why did he go on the air? And it was 48 hours later, he had already scheduled a sit-down interview. Let me bow. I'm sorry. Let me apologize. Why do that? Well, he had to do that because of the swift response from the system when he used a word that was an honest word. It was a true word. Illegal. Immediately, the system freaked.
The president is walking back a controversial term he used during his State of the Union remarks. Biden used the word, quote, illegal.
He used the term illegal. He used the word illegal.
He used the word illegal.
He used the word illegals to describe people.
He did use a word that did bother people. Immigration advocates don't want to hear him use the word illegal.
Do you regret using the word illegal to describe immigrants last night, sir?
I kind of jumped as well when I heard that word.
We normally don't use that word.
I should note, this goes on for another minute. I'm going to let it play. It's way too long. I normally don't let sound bites play that long. I'm going to let it play just so we can all, myself included, really take in just how outraged the system was that Joe Biden said the truth once.
But because people are not illegal.
To be clear, no human being is illegal.
Congressman Chuy Garcia saying he was extremely disappointed to hear the president use that word illegal.
Joaquin Castro has said like this, using that word and illegal, dehumanizing is problematic. What did you make of that?
Well, that's probably true. He probably should have used a different word.
Like Joe Biden's ad-libs in the past, this one kind of got him in some trouble, particularly with Democrats who don't use the word illegal.
I'll stop it there. Why don't they use the word illegal? Why did Joe Biden go on TV and practically grovel because he used the word illegal? Well, I just want to once again remind everybody that all communism is based on hurting people and lying to people. When you have an anti-human religion of death, that is a difficult sell to the masses. Therefore, you only have two routes you can go. You can hurt the people who are in your way, and you have to lie at all times. See, let me explain it to you this way. It's the best way I can explain it. Let's say I go home tonight and wife has dinner ready. And maybe she's had a really bad day. So she's in a bad mood and I'm feeling bad for her. And I sit down and let's say she screwed up dinner. And she's a great cook, to be honest with you. But let's say this is a night, maybe something was off and it's just bad. It's gross. When she asks me how dinner is, I'm going to choose my words carefully, aren't I? Oh, babe, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you doing it, and it tastes like you did something different tonight, and I'll tell you, it's different. I think I like it, right? I'll be carefully choosing my words. But if she makes her world-famous fettuccine Alfredo, and I sit down and eat it, and I throw my head back and say, oh my gosh, this is the best freaking thing I've ever eaten in my life, I can just speak off the cuff. Why can I just speak off the cuff in the second situation, but in the first situation, I have to be careful because in the first situation, I'm lying. I'm deceiving. I want her to think that I feel a certain way about something that I really do not. I'm lying to her. I'm honest in the second situation because, well, the truth is, sounds good. Communists control language. They're so focused on language because they're so focused on deception. And stepping outside of that deception truly was a mortal sin in their eyes. That's why they came down so hard on Biden for that. All right? All right, let's get to some emails and some other things. Before we get to that, let's get to caring for our own bodies. I know pre-workout is a thing now. And honestly, I've dabbled in it myself. What is pre-workout? You're getting ready to work out. You take something. You pour a little powder. It's almost always in powder form in a drink. You drink it. It energizes you for the workout. The problem with pre-workouts is they're all packed full of filth, all kinds of crap you don't want in your body. So Chalk, of course, figured there had to be a better way, a natural way, a healthier way. That's why they created Chad Mode. And of course, Chalk would name it Chad Mode. I love them so much. Chad Mode, the ultimate pre-workout, 100% natural caffeines. That's your new pre-workout. Get Chalk Lit Powder, get Chad Mode, get a male vitality stack or a female vitality stack. Subscriptions have huge discounts at Chalk.com, promo code Jesse. Chalk.com, promo code Jesse.
Jesse Kelly. Back soon.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. And yes, apparently there are boatloads of Haitian criminals on their way to the United States of America as we speak. I don't mean to laugh. It's not funny. It's terrible. But Haiti, look, we talked about this on Friday about the concept of cursed lands. But they do share an island with the Dominican Republic. And the Dominican Republic is a very nice place. And then there's Haiti. Haiti has been a dump for my entire life. Disease and famine and crime and death and murder. And it, again, it's insane. Haiti has, it was the site of one of the only successful slave rebellions in human history. Slave rebellions never work. Even Spartacus didn't work in the end. They don't work. In the end, they do not work. But in Haiti, they pulled it off. And you could make the argument the standard of living hasn't improved since then. And now their government is gone. And from what I understand, the de facto leader of the country is a gang leader who burns people alive and then eats them. There's just this witchcraft, voodoo, home of the devil thing about that place. And we got word today about the prisons. They're emptying the prisons and they're putting them on boats and they're sending them to America, and America won't reject them. You realize that? America will not reject them. In fact, the absolute scumbags who run this country want them to come. Look, they're telling you on camera.
From Brooklyn, New York, we have a diaspora that can absorb a significant number of these migrants. And when I hear colleagues talk about the doors of the inn being closed, no room in the inn, I'm saying I need more people in my district, but just for redistricting purposes. And those members could clearly fit here.
No worries. I'm sure the Haitian cannibals will fit right in around here. You do a Google search for Haitian cuisine, you end up with a mirror. Stop. Grow up. Let's get to some emails. Hey, Jesse, the left is making fun of President Trump's idea about building new cities. I think it's a great idea. It's not new. The American people used to build cities all the time. They didn't spring up out of thin air. Someone built them. Yeah, look, I like the concept of new cities. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Here's the thing about it, though. Cities aren't generally something you just decide to build. Cities are something that happen. It happens because this particular area is a major port, or it's on an important part of the river, or it's at a major train junction, or like cities become cities naturally. It's not as if people just ride through a gigantic piece of open territory and look and say, you know what, right here, we're going to put a city. That'd be great. There's a purpose for them. So it sounds good. I have no problem with big ideas. I like it. Sounds cool to me. It's also not something that's necessarily going to happen. Oh, I have to get to this before we get on to the other stories and emails. We often talk about system membership cards. And we talk about how the communists are always trying to jump each other and skip ahead and get a better spot on the Central Committee. They all want a spot on the Central Committee. They all want an updated system membership card. Man alive, these people will just debase themselves for that. Did you hear what Warnock, that idiot senator out of Georgia, did you hear what he said in response to Biden's State of the Union?
And as I sat the other night and listen to the president's speech, I'll tell you, I said to my colleagues, I don't know if that was Joe Biden or Joe Lewis, because the man came out fighting and he never let up, and he's not going to let up between now and November.
Is that Skeletor up there, Joe Lewis? Yeah, I'm sure that's what he was saying. Oh, you thought that was bad? Well, today, you know how that they had that hearing with Robert Hur, the special counsel who essentially said, well, let's be honest, essentially came out and said Joe Biden had classified documents in, well, every place on earth.
Mr. Hur, classified documents were found at the Penn Biden Center?
That's correct.
They were found in President Biden's garage?
In Wilmington, Delaware, yes.
And in his basement den?
Also in the same home, yes.
In the major, in his main floor office?
Correct.
And his third floor den?
Correct.
At the University of Delaware?
Correct.
And at the Biden Institute?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Also correct. Also yes. So it's bad, right? And look, the hearing went from bad to worse when we all found out together that Joe Biden told his ghostwriter to delete the evidence.
What did that ghostwriter do with the information Joe Biden shared with him on his laptop? What did he do after you were named special counsel?
Chairman, if you're referring to the audio recordings that Mr. Zwanitzer created of his conversations with
exactly
Biden,
what I'm referring to.
He slid, if I remember correctly, he slid those files into his recycle bin on his computer.
Tried to destroy the evidence, didn't he?
Correct.
Yeah. Jamie Raskin is a dirtball congressman and has been one of the most brazen liars in Congress for a very long time. But my goodness, does Jamie Raskin have a bright, shiny, brand new system membership card at all times. Why? Here's Jamie Raskin from today.
To the President of the United States, whose soaring oratory, powerful historical analysis, and devastating extemporaneous repartee with even the most skilled ninja hecklers of the Freedom Caucus were on full display at the State of the Union address last week for the whole country to see.
His soaring oratory. Man, I've said it before. Like, we said it last week about Joe Scarborough when he was talking about, this is the best Joe Biden's ever been. What do you think he sees in the mirror at night? As a man, is he embarrassed? Does he feel bad? He's got to be. Right, whatever. Let's get to some emails. Jesse, On March 8th, you mentioned your GWA veteran friends. What is GWA? I may have misunderstood what you said. I don't know how to spell it. I said GWAT. G-W-O-T. GWAT. It stands for Global War on Terror. It's what you call anyone who fought in Iraq or Afghanistan. Jesse, I'm a big Trump supporter, and I would crawl through hell to vote for him again this year. However, his continued comments about the poison vax infuriates me. Do you think he knows that the COVID vax is a poison shot and is so terrified about being the guy who signed off on it that he says it's awesome to cover himself? Or that he actually believes it's a lifesaver and says it without losing a wink of sleep? I understand he was under enormous pressure, and thank God he always said it should be a choice, unlike these commies. But my love of Trump has turned to a love of policy now because of this continued lunacy. Okay, look. This is obviously something he believes. He believes that poison shot was good. He wants, it's very, very obvious. In fact, he said it as much. He wants credit for it. Forget about being ashamed of it or something like that. He believes that he should receive credit for it. And that's not going to change because the primary was never competitive. The only chance we had at him changing course on the whole vax stuff, the only chance we had was a competitive primary where he felt forced to come to the correct side on that. But he was up by 30 points the entire time. He never felt threatened enough. Remember, I always said I wanted a competitive primary? Well, everyone got in, but it was never competitive. So he never felt forced to go, you know, the correct direction on it. And now that's never going to happen. Just look, accept it or don't accept it. It is what it is. That's never going to happen. All right? You know what else is never going to happen? Pure Talk's never going to take your money and use it against you. We've been talking a lot tonight about the corporate world and the movies and the shoes and the outdoor brands and everything. It's so nice to know that my cell phone company will no longer dump all over my values. Speaking of COVID and all this craziness, go back and look at what T-Mobile did, what Verizon did, AT&T, what these gigantic soulless companies did to this country, to their own consumers during COVID. Pure Talk loves you. Pure Talk loves this country. They love the country so much, they only hire Americans. Their customer service team is right here in America. $35 a month gets you unlimited talk, text, and 15 gigs of data and a mobile hotspot. And they're giving out free Samsung 5G smartphones right now. Switch, man. Stop spending your money with those garbage companies. Pick up your phone. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. That's how you claim your eligibility for a free phone and all the worst. All the rest. That's not the worst. It's the best. #250. Say Jesse Kelly and switch to Pure Talk. We'll be back.
Get the cure for rhinos. Weekdays with the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. I want to remind you before we get out of here, don't worry, we still have a whole segment left. You can email the show, and you should, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Let's get to a couple of those. Hi, Jesse. My wife and I have really been enjoying the show this evening. Appreciate your views, support for our country. Thank you for sharing the Saipan story this past Monday. This part is really, really cool. We have a collection of 1930s vintage radios that we listen to your show on. Every night, a different radio, and it makes listening that much more enjoyable. That's so freaking cool. We live in Staunton, Virginia, Shenandoah Valley, and are transplants from Long Island, New York. We tune into WKCI, that's a great station, 970 AM from Waynesboro, Virginia. Keep up the great work. Many blessings to you and your family. That's really, didn't say I can use his name, so I won't. That's cool. Vintage radios, Chris. I bet I sound even better on a vintage radio. What, Chris? The sound of me coming through on a vintage radio? Man, that's as America as it gets.
You know, freedom is not free.
Well, Jess, I did it. My dad started to go off on Trump, and rather than just sit back and let him ramble, I spoke up and let him know how brainwashed he is. I then continued to tell him that Biden is a feckless, nasty, pathetic wretch of a human being, as evidenced by what he did to Afghanistan. I've never hated another human being in my life until Joe flushed an entire country for a photo op. AC forever, baby. He says I can use his name. His name is Monty. And he says to give Fred a pat for him. And of course I will. Look, we have, and I've been raised the same way too. I shouldn't say raised because I wasn't raised to be non-confrontational. But our values on the right, we have been quiet about them. We have been. That's how we operate. We view it as, I don't know, intrusive, bad decorum, rude to bring up politics and things like that in certain events. For you, for me, I don't want to put words in your mouth. For me, and to this day, I'm like this. I have times when I don't do politics. Even when I'm hanging out with friends, a big party or something like that on the weekends. And people will obviously bring it up to me because they know what I do, but I never bring it up to anyone else. I just do not. It's the weekend. You set that aside. But the communist doesn't feel that way. The communist, your liberal Aunt Peggy, is constantly bringing it up again because it's their religion. And we have historically just allowed that to go because we want them to shut up and go away. And oh, gosh, just let her finish here. But what that's done is that's created an environment for all of us where only their voice gets heard. And then these people, because they never get any real pushback, they get bolder and bolder and bolder and bolder. When you think about it, the boldest people in your life, the boldest political people in your life, I bet you almost all of them are Democrats, aren't they? The people who bring it up all the time and they speak about it and they speak loudly about it and they don't hold back. They're almost all Democrats, aren't they? We've allowed that to happen. We have allowed the complete flipping of the social shame system in our society. And the social shame system has now flipped to the point where the good guys feel like they have to shut up, feel like they have to be quiet, feel like they have to, and the bad guys scream from the rooftops. They take their demonic religion and they're yelling it. We can't allow that anymore. No more. No more does the communist get to run his mouth unchecked. No more. Start pushing back. Liberal Aunt Peggy, if not just for being a liberal, if she's just a liberal, a Democrat, that's fine. But if she brings that crap into Thanksgiving, Easter's coming up soon. Well, not for Jewish producer Chris, but for the rest of us, Easter's coming up soon. If she brings that crap to your Easter party, well, let me put it to you this way. The next time there's an Easter party, she should either not want to come or know that she should shut her mouth if she does. Don't you dare let liberal Aunt Peggy walk into your Easter celebration and ruin it with her politics unchecked. It's time to get louder. It's time to check these people, right? And it's also time to buy an emergency 3-month food kit. Look, we talked about the farms. 140,000 in 5 years disappeared, and that's only America's. The war on the food supply is real, and it is ongoing. And there's simply no other way around it. There's going to be a problem. We know there's going to be a problem at some point. My Patriot Supply, you have any idea how many people they've helped? How many families? Over 3 million families have gone to My Patriot Supply. It's the place to go. Non-perishable foods. They last up to 25 years in storage. These food kits provide over 2,000 calories a day. 3-month food kits are now on sale, $200 off. $200 off, you get to save. Now, to get that deal, you have to go to preparewithjessekelly.com, all right? Preparewithjessekelly.com, all right? All right. Look, just remember what Joe said.
As you just heard, Rose, many heard her say, many Americans pay for prescription drugs more money than anywhere in the country.
Remember what he said about our national security.
And what they're going to do is to ensure a national, really endanger our national security. They're going to expend, are they going to expand personal freedom?
How could he be more clear? How could he be more clear? Oh, one more thing before we get to headlines I didn't get to. One more thing for liberal Aunt Peggy.
Next time she shows up, starts talking about how she votes Democrat in her big city. Here's a little tidbit. This is from the local news in Pittsburgh. Gosh, I freaking love Pittsburgh so much. That was my place.
Residents of the city will see a major change in the way police respond. They will no longer respond to calls that aren't considered in progress emergency. That means calls like criminal mischief, theft, harassment, and most burglary alarms will all be handled by an enhanced telephone reporting unit. That means residents will file a police report over the phone. Officers will not respond unless it's an emergency. Also, between the hours of 3 a.m. and 7 a.m., there will be no officers at any of the six stations throughout the city. Call boxes that link directly to 911 have been installed for people to use in case of an emergency.
What are those four little words you're going to tell your liberal Aunt Peggy when she gets there from Pittsburgh and complains about the crime, complains about the state of the neighborhood? What are those four little words? Are you going to sit there like a church mouse, or are you going to use those four magical little words? You voted for this.
And now,
here's a headline.
You know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
Congressional probe finds comms device on Chinese cranes in U.S. ports, raising security concerns. You, me, what we don't want to do because we want to sleep tonight, we don't want to sit and think about how compromised China already has us from the inside if something bad were to kick off with them. Excessive alcohol deaths surged 29% during the COVID pandemic, CDC data reveals. Oh, wow, you mean if you take away someone's livelihood and their social setting, only you keep the liquor stores open, you might create an extreme amount of alcoholism in the country? If only there was this wildly handsome guy on the radio who warned about that at the time. Consumer prices climbed 3.2% in February as 2% goal remains elusive. Elusive, that's one way to put it. Another way to put it is we're out of time. We'll do this again tomorrow. That's all.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.